Pros, just because something on the job runs out doesn't mean you have to. Order it on the Lowe's app. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members get free same-day delivery on eligible orders over $25. Get the fasteners, hardware, or tools you need to keep the job moving. Order by 2 p.m. and get eligible in-stock items delivered right to your job site by 8 p.m. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to availability. Restrictions and terms at Lowe's.com/shipping terms. Subject to change.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We touched on it at the start of the show, but... after a week of trying to avoid, you all right?
No, because I know where you're going. I'm already mad.
So, after a week of hiding and trying to avoid the spotlight because they were awful, gave up a 24-point lead and lost to the Chiefs, and we kept saying Bill O'Brien was the happiest guy in the world and giddy that the Astros scandal broke again with news of the punishment because then people weren't looking at him. Well, look at me, screaming from Kirby came last night during and after the two football games as news broke. Chris Olsen first, the 13-plus year front office member that was basically in charge of negotiating contracts and such, was let go.
Oh, well, thank goodness, because, you know, he was the problem. Chris Olsen obviously had so much to do with what happened on the field. He obviously was the one that was a bonehead when it came to timeouts, a bonehead when it came to decision-making in-game. He was the one that was obviously coming up with the defensive schemes and the offensive schemes and play calling. Thank God Chris Olsen is gone. Good job, Texans. You solved it.
In the grand scheme of things, he becomes the scapegoat for why Laremy Tunsil wasn't signed to an extension while the trade was being formulated for Bill O'Brien, at least in my mind, because we said Romeo Crennel was going to be the scapegoat for everything that happened against the Chiefs, and that was the news yet to come. First, John Pagano, the outside linebackers coach, was let go Friday. Then Olsen was relieved of his duties last night, and then right after that, and kudos to John Granato, our own, who basically said, heads up, it looks like Anthony Weaver's going to be the new defensive coordinator of the Texans. News should be coming shortly. And shortly after that, news came that Anthony Weaver would indeed become the defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans. And as Barry touched on earlier in the show, it doesn't mean Romeo Crennel was fired. He has been granted, if you want to stay with the organization, you can, and they'll find a spot for him. So he wasn't fired outright. But he was again reassigned like they did for Vrabel a few years ago. And Anthony Weaver, the D-line coach, is now going to be your defensive coordinator. They said he was an up-and-coming. He's a former Texan, former Raven. They said from all people that were asked about it, he's got that it factor. He's got a really savvy
like Vrabel
mind
did.
For defense. Right, exactly. That he would probably be up for head coaching jobs in the next couple of years. And this was the next progression for him.
What amazes me is that, you know, I don't know that, to me, in a way, coaches don't forget how to coach. Sometimes your players don't perform. Sometimes you don't have the right personnel. A couple things about this. I don't think Romeo Crennel forgot how to coach. I just think maybe his in-game adjustments weren't as good, right? But I think it was time. You can't choke away a 24-point lead and keep your job as a defensive coordinator and as a head coach. It baffles me that they're like, well, that's okay, though. If O'Brien is still around, you're the head coach of a football team that choked away a 24-point lead in the playoffs. How do you have a job? But yet, like you said, Romeo Crennel is going to be the scapegoat, so he loses his job as DC, but still remains in the organization because O'Brien is his boy and is going to keep him on the payroll. And then you got this whole Chris Olsen thing, which doesn't make any sense to me. I think the Tunsil point is probably a good one. But at the end of the day, it had nothing to do with them collapsing in the playoffs.
No, it doesn't. But take this a step further, because the other two that I omitted.
The whole coaching staff should be
gone.
But
what I omitted on Olsen is he's not only going to take the blame for the Tunsil part of it. He's going to take the blame for the extensions for your center, for your linebacker, for the fact that Whitney Mercilus got overpaid, for the fact that your starting center got overpaid. And I'm sure, again, Bill was catching heat, so Bill's just going to start deflecting, and he's going to make people take the blame.
Bill O'Brien is in such a great spot,
it's
right?
Unbelievable.
Like, you
how
know
good
he's behind all these moves, and then when they go bad, he can blame someone else and have them fired. What an envious position to be in.
Because ironically, it goes back to what I said right from the get-go, like, the day after that, which is we haven't heard from Cal McNair. Since his dad passed away, we have heard nothing from him. And in the leading up to the Kansas City game, okay, fine, so be it. We can deal with that. But after the Kansas City debacle and the way it all ended and the fact that Bill O'Brien obviously, and it's been reported over and over again, only reports to one man. That one man needs to come out as the owner of this team, representing this team to the city and say, either, hey, whether you don't want to hear it and you don't like it or not, you can come out and say, Bill O'Brien is still our guy and that's what we're doing going forward. Or, hey, I see what you see. I'm not happy with it. And we're going to revisit everything this offseason. But say something. And instead, it just looks like you said, Bill O'Brien has just got a complete protection where he can do and say whatever he wants, immunity, and no one can touch him.
I don't need to hear from Cal McNair unless it is telling me that he's fired Bill O'Brien. Otherwise, it's pointless. I don't need you to come out in support of Bill O'Brien because you not firing him is obvious. Like, I don't want a Jerry Jones running this franchise.
Right. You don't want Dan Snyder.
I don't want guys that you know, love having a microphone and a camera in their face. So if Cal McNair plays the background the whole time, that's fine. But speak with your actions, at least. At least speak by firing Bill O'Brien because he's inept and can't do
a
good job.
Saying,
that's fine with me.
That's
but
fine.
He doesn't come out and
that,
have to say the
that's
looking.
Exactly what I said, though. We haven't heard from him to this point. And everything leading outside of, like, the playoffs, I'm fine with. But the way it ended, how it ended, and who ended it, that needs to be addressed. And as an ownership group or an owner or whoever, you go across sports. We heard from Tillman Fertitta after the Rockets debacle at the end of the year. We heard that everything was going to be on the table, that maybe everybody other than Harden could be traded. We heard what we needed to hear, because sometimes you don't want to hear what he has to say. It's his team, though. He can do whatever he wants. I at least want to hear, so I'm not sitting there, you know, guessing every day, are you going to fire Bill O'Brien? Is he on the hot seat? What's going to happen? At least I could hear from him and go, okay, it's stupid, and I can draw and formulate opinions from it, but at least I get it. You're coming out and saying, Bill's my guy still.
Okay, well, that's where you stand. I just want, like I said, from my perspective, I don't need to hear from him unless it's to tell me that O'Brien is gone. Otherwise, talking loud ain't saying nothing.
I was talking about this with you guys before the show. For me, if he doesn't say anything, that's an indicator that he's endorsing Bill O'Brien. I mean, I have to make that assumption in the event that he doesn't say anything. And that's what I feel about this whole situation. Obviously, there is somebody in that who's important that believes in Bill O'Brien. So if that's the case, people are going to get blamed, and that's the situation that you see right now. The lead contract negotiator, I'm not sure how much he was working with Bill O'Brien when it came down to discuss some of these numbers, but he's not the guy I feel like that should leave. But
let me ask you both a question. Do you think that anything went on in this organization that Bill O'Brien wasn't aware of?
I do not.
Do you think that the Laremy Tunsil trade happened without Bill O'Brien's knowledge, including having him traded for without signing him to an extension?
I would have to agree with Joel. I would have to say no.
So then why are you firing that guy?
I can tell you why, because of what we just said.
But I know it's a rhetorical question. It's why if Bill O'Brien, and we can all agree that Bill O'Brien knew about everything that took place in this organization the entire year, why are you why is it okay to make everyone else the scapegoat off the field and on the field? There's one problem.
I've lived this, okay? It's called the pyramid scam of business, all right? But if you're set up to which you are at the top of the pyramid all by yourself, and all you would do is report to the ownership, and everybody below you, it all trickles down on, but you basically control all of it, then I think Chris Olsen was a scapegoat simply because for every aspect of all, Bill O'Brien hates, as we know, to hear anything negative in the media, or he hates to be criticized, but you knew he was going to start catching heat for the extensions during the end of the year, for the Tunsil deal not involving an extension, for all these different things. So at the top of the pyramid, as long as you don't have to report to anybody as to why you were considering getting rid of somebody or get approval that you're going to fire somebody, hey, guess what? Well, then this person's responsible for all the screw-ups with the contracts and stuff.
Sure.
This person's responsible for giving up a 24-point lead against the Chiefs, so he's got to go. And then we're going to shake it up a little further so our defense gets back to where it once was, so then he's got to go.
He's basically sitting in Cal's office going, not my job, Cal. Not my job, Brian. Not my job to challenge as the head coach with a challenge flag in my pocket. Not my job.
It's not my job to do that.
It's not my job, Brian. Not my job, Cal. Come on, man. This organization is a joke right now. From top to bottom, the Texans should be. Forget the Browns. They make the Browns look like the Packers or the Patriots.
Here's,
the Texans are a joke.
Here's the validation of that.
An absolute
because
joke.
We are sometimes so entrenched in it because we get it every day that we get kind of in the bubble of thinking this is just Houston. But when the news broke that Chris Olsen was relieved of his duties last night on Twitter, and I think Schefter broke it, Mark Tauscher, who was a longtime offensive lineman for the Packers, he now has a radio show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He quote tweeted it and came back and said, because he's the guy that called the fake punt against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that didn't know how to call a fourth and one play when you needed him. And
he's
that's when you start realizing if people in Milwaukee know how bad the Texans are.
There was somebody from the Colts that were like, oh, thank God, please give Bill O'Brien more power. They're a joke. The whole organization is the laughingstock of the NFL. You have other teams and just regular-ass, everyday Joe fans of other teams that are excited that Bill O'Brien isn't getting fired, that he's getting more power because they see how inept he is at his job, and they see what a joke he's turned this franchise into, and they're loving it. Even in the division, Colts fans are like, yes, our best...
Oh, in the division, for sure.
Our best way of winning the division is as long as Bill O'Brien is the coach of the Texans. That's what it looks like. That's what people are saying.
The most embarrassing stat is, since Bill O'Brien took over the Houston Texans, the only team not to get to a conference championship are the Houston Texans.
That's
the Jags got to one.
Yeah.
The Colts got to them. You know, you look at it, the Titans just got to one, and you're like, but we keep giving this guy more.
Is the folks that got the Jags and the Colts there aren't even there anymore, if I'm not mistaken. And Vrabel used to be a Texans coach.
Tom Coughlin was
no, I'm
the
talking
Jags.
About head coach.
No, but Tom Coughlin was when I think Coughlin was still in charge when the Jags got there. Was he not?
Well, he's not the head coach anymore. Well, that's my point.
But I'm saying, was he there when Bill O'Brien was coaching the Texans?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think he was in New York.
Okay.
But
obviously Vrabel just got to Tennessee.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm just talking about from an organizational perspective.
That's just
the fact
crazy.
That regardless of whether you want to question who's running what and how they're running it, obviously those other three teams did enough right to get to a conference
and
championship.
And they moved on from them. They're like, well, thanks for getting us to a conference championship, but this isn't working. This dude's out here losing in divisional rounds, and they won't move on from him. And, by the way, somebody texted the show and said, and I don't know this to be true, I'm just reading the text, but if this is true, holy hell, I'm even madder now by reading this. But this is what it says. They said on the bench, and we should probably listen, or you could text Lance and ask. They said on the bench this morning that Olsen was the only one telling Billy O to not do the Tunsil trade without an extension. But Billy did it anyway. I'm sure Olsen was also telling dear old Billy that the Martin and Merciless extensions were stupid.
Yep.
But the fact is, if somebody on this station has inside knowledge, which, by the way, like you said, Granato knew that stuff was going to happen before it broke locally or nationally. So if Granato knew that, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if he's right that Olsen was telling Billy O not to do the Tunsil trade without an extension. And now he's the scapegoat. Cal McNair, it's this whole organization is a joke. The Texans, laughingstock of the NFL. You guys need to get it together over there.
No
Terrible.
Question. So if you want to talk about Texans, we're here for you. And if you want to change the subject, something on your mind, you want to get off your chest, we're here for that too. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about a great organization that has their stuff together, and that's Infuse Energy. I made the switch about 3.5 years ago, just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? Because they've saved me thousands off my bills with my previous energy provider, and they are just dedicated to great customer service and taking care of their customers. They do so with not just sending you the bill, but they send you a bill and then they send you emails during the week that break down when you're using energy the most, when you're using it the least. If you want to make changes or try to figure out what's using up energy in your house, they send you comparable bills so you can compare last year's bill to this year's bill. So you can look at it and say, hey, there might be a reason why if your bill spiked or, you know, you're paying a little bit more, or a little bit less, there might be some answers. They try to keep it light. Each bill also has a joke in it, a joke of the month, so that you can get a little chuckle in your day. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get $25 bill credit off your first bill when you sign up. So that's even a good thing. And Josh Pesnikoff and his staff make sure that they take care of Houstonians. They're dedicated to you by being 100% honest. And even if that means losing your business to cheaper competition, they're going to let you know if there's a rate and a deal that's out there better than theirs, because they know you'll appreciate it. You might not go with them this time, but you'll be back with them because you know you can trust them. And that's so important in business. They got the best rating you can possibly get from the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, 5 out of 5 stars. And simply put, they are affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Whether you look them up at infuseenergy.com or you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you need to infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Deep in hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on this MLK day as we are on the go. And you are out and about doing whatever you are doing on this beautiful day in the big city. And we appreciate you being a suspect and listening to us. We were talking about the debacle that is the Houston Texans. We were talking about all of the scapegoats and all of the people that are now going to be labeled as the problem instead of the reason why Bill O'Brien continues to dodge bullets, maintain a Teflon shield, and not have to face the music for anything and everything that he's done.
God, it's infuriating me.
It's not just you.
Just, it's infuriating. It really is. And by the way, I need to clean something up. Doug Marrone's still with the Jags. They should have fired him this year, but he's the one that got them to the AFC championship game in 2017. Still there. So,
and that was the last time they had got there. But, yeah, then they've had a more successful run, obviously, than the Texans in their history with getting
there. I mean, have they? In his 4 years with the Jags?
I'm just saying, as a franchise, I'm saying in their history, they have more conference championship appearances and done a lot more.
He's finished fourth in the AFC South 3 times, and then he took them to the championship against New England in 2017.
The thing you look at, too, when you say, okay, he came from the Belichick tree. And we always say that Belichick and Nick Saban have that cranky, crotchety, arrogant way of handling the press and anytime they have to speak and what annoys them. But when you look at it, Bill O'Brien feels like division championships put him in the same breath as two guys that have won numerous national championships or world championships, as the case may be with the Patriots, and done so much more. And yet, the arrogance factor it doesn't help him or anybody else to try and feel sympathetic about him, the situation. And how many second chances can a guy get? And then when you take on a new job, which you don't want the title for, but according to everybody you read from Pro Football Talk to all the different people that are Jay Glazer and all these different people are saying, Bill O'Brien feels like the structure going forward in football operations with him being the general manager with or without the title is working, and they're going to continue to do it that way.
Well, sure it does, because it protects him, and he's shielded, and he's not going to get fired, and he can be as bad at coaching as he wants to be, and he can be as inept on the field as he wants to be, and nothing happens. So why wouldn't you love the current structure?
Well, he, of course, for sure, he does. Yes, but that's why I revert back to, if I'm the owner of that team, I'm not okay with it. And yeah, the trade helped this year, but look what you gave up. And then on top of that, when you talk about the variables that make a trade successful or not, one, we knew you were going to have to give up, and you gave up more than most people thought you were going to have to give up. But you got Kenny Stills, too, and he ended up turning out to be a pretty valuable guy for you. So you got an upgrade on the receivers. You got your left tackle for the franchise. But then on top of it, the other sidebar was you didn't sign him to an extension, and now his agent's going to come to you with a blank check, and if you don't sign it to whatever they want, you're going to watch a guy walk, and then the trade and you are going to look really, really, really foolish. So you've got all of that going forward. That's why the owner's got to say something. And whether he even says, okay, we talked about the things that I thought he should say. But then also just say what you're going to do with the structure. Are you going to, regardless of what Bill O'Brien thinks, are you going to say, as the owner of this team, I see it as a need. We still need someone in the general manager's position. Or are you going to say, Bill's done a fine job. Bilk should continue to roll with both roles. But something's got to be said. So, okay. Whether the fans demand what deserve answers or not. We obviously know they're demanding answers they're not getting. But.
Well, you're getting your answers.
I don't think you're getting answers. I think you're getting signs that.
People getting fired are your answers.
Heads are rolled and people are going to be put in new positions. But most every other time, like you said, in terms of a laughing stock of an organization, most cases when moves are like this are made, there is a kind of a press release and or some kind of Q&A where the thought process behind the moves is also revealed. And we haven't heard anything. We just all of a sudden heard out of the blue after everybody was waiting for a full week to have something happen. Suddenly it was the weekend of pink slips over on Kirby with no explanation of why and why Bill isn't facing the music and why this move or that move was made. We're only left to assume even more. Oh, he's gone because he probably screwed up the two contract extensions and the Tunsil deal. Oh, he's gone because it's passed him by and the defense against the Chiefs was unacceptable. He's being moved up because he's an up-and-comer that could be the next Mike Vrabel. But we're guessing and speculating. We're not hearing from anybody there saying this is why they did what they did.
I don't know.
It's just frustrating as hell. I'm with you 100% on that. And we both are in the same corner in terms of what should be done, but we don't have any idea of anything else. Now, John McClain was reporting this morning, they're not done. There might be more.
Well, they just clean house, but you know that's not going to happen. So.
No. All right. So Aggie Joe's heard all of this, and he heard the topic of the Texans, wants to get in here. Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Man, I can't agree with y'all more. I just feel like John McNair, he's got no passion when it comes to this team and winning. He's just sitting back going, hey, man, you guys are buying tickets. You're buying merch. Everything that Barry was saying last week. Barry, I was so enthralled with what you said. When I got home last week, I took all of my stuff, threw it in a box, put it on top of the closet. Tuesday I called, canceled my season tickets. I'm out spending money until he's gone. It just seems to me like Cal doesn't care. He's just like, you know what? We're selling out the seats. You're getting us to the playoffs. That's fine by me.
Amen. And
it just, to me, is lazy and it sucks. And as a guy who's followed this franchise from the get-go, it just makes me sick and tired. All right, guys, I'm out.
Appreciate you, Aggie Joe. And you know what? You're
great stuff, Joe.
Yeah, you know, speaking with your wallet is the only way that you listen. And if more fans had the balls to do what you did, trust me when I tell you, Bill O'Brien would no longer be the head coach of this organization. But the fact is, Aggie Joe, a lot of these fans over here sitting on their hands, they just want to go watch this football team, and they're going to blindly support them no matter what. And I know it sucks, and you don't want to put your stuff in the top of the closet and sell your tickets, but you're doing the right thing. You wouldn't, look, if you bought a car and it was a piece of crap, you're not going to keep buying that same car, especially if every time you bought it, a new one, it was a piece of crap again. You go buy a new car, or you tell them to fix their product. The Texans aren't fixing their product, but a lot of these folks are still going to pay for it. And it's sad to see.
There you got it. It's the first half of the show. Dual Suspects, ESPN.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an MLK day in the big city. Reminder, the Rockets with a matinee today at 4 p.m. hosting Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder. At some point, we'll get to that. And the debacle that was Saturday night at Toyota Center. But before that, we were talking about on the other end of the Houston downtown type landscape, down Kirby Way, and all of the debacle that has been the Houston Texans since the end of the season against the Chiefs, with the disappointing and heartbreaking loss and the giving up of the 24-point lead and such, and then the heads that rolled yesterday. So, Aggie Joe, last segment. Sam wants to get in here on this segment, talk a little Texans. Sam, what's going on?
Hi, Sam. Good afternoon, buddy. My name is Sam. I just wanted to touch base on what the gentleman before, you know, before me came on. I've been listening for the last hour or so to you guys, and you guys are hitting it on a dot. Me, myself, I've been living in Houston for 40 years now. I'm a Detroit guy, and believe me, we have the same bullshit with the Ford.
Sorry, Sam. Got to cut you off, buddy. Can't curse. You lose your right to finish the call when you curse, and unfortunately...
I feel your passion.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
We've got Devin on the line if he wants to talk about the same situation.
Okay.
Devin, what's going on?
Well, should we... Oh, hold on. Pod Devin down for a second for me. Let's let that rebuild in case Devin says curse words. But let me just explain to Sam that we appreciate the call. I think the point was you were going to say is you suffered through the ineptness of what Texans fans are going through. You feel for Aggie Joe, and we appreciate the call. Try again tomorrow, though, Sam, but just don't curse. All right, now let's take Devin's call.
Hey, guys, sports.
What's up? Nope.
No, wrong show. You could, but we Devin, could. We could. Come on.
You know what? I hate you. God.
I'm just joking.
I know. I hate you so much for it.
No, but honestly, big fan of the show, you guys, and Fred and AJ. And I just wanted to get a call in about Bill O'Brien and Cal McNair. You know, I really think Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere anytime soon. And I really think that the only way to have Cal McNair get it through his head that Bill the best players, you know, get together and talk to him privately and let him know that this isn't the guy. Because D-Hop and J.J. Watt and Deshaun, they just can't, you know, I just can't believe that they actually believe that this guy is the guy that's going to, you know, take him to a Super Bowl. You know, especially J.J., I mean, like, he's the face of the franchise and everything, and he's, you know, beloved by the city. But, I mean, does he really think that he's going to win a Super Bowl here? I mean, he's too great of a player to not have a ring, and I don't know.
Well, Dev, we appreciate the call, man. Here's the thing. J.J. Watt isn't the player he once was. He's been injured more than he's played the last couple of years, so I don't know that he has the stroke and the pull and the credibility that he once had.
He still does.
The biggest guy in the mix that you bring up, or the biggest two, but between Watson and D-Hop, the more exposure normally goes to Deshaun Watson. And he's already come out and sang the praises of Bill O'Brien and talked about how he doesn't want anything to happen to Bill O'Brien. He loves Bill O'Brien. And that says something in itself, because you're expecting the ownership to react. He's already heard from his best player.
Wait a minute. You don't think that if J.J. Watt came out and said, look, man, this coaching staff isn't going to get it done. I think we need to bring in somebody younger with a fresher eyes and a better idea of how to run this organization and coach us on the field. You don't think that would carry any weight if J.J. Watt did that?
As much weight as the other two guys involved in the conversation based on where he's been the last couple of years and the fact that we don't know what's going to happen because they've already said in the offseason they may either have to try and get him to restructure his contract or they might have to do something. So I don't think
and that's the perfect time to do it.
I don't think you want me to restructure.
I'm not restructuring if Bill O'Brien is your head coach. How about that?
Fine. Again,
that's a
my
statement.
Opinion is that he doesn't have the weight that I think he once did with the franchise. But I think of all three guys that he just rattled off, the other two carry the weight. But one of those two just came out and said that he's fully in Bill O'Brien's corner. So that's a problem in itself.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you on that. The fact that Deshaun Watson wholeheartedly endorses Bill O'Brien is sad.
And here's the other thing. I don't know if you caught this or Nick, but when I'm looking at the podium last night at the end of that AFC Championship game, and I'm looking at a guy that was squarely in your locker room a year ago in Tyrann Mathieu, and I look at a guy that said, remember that, on the way out, he parted and said, the way that locker room is, the way everything is going on around there, and he got the hell out. That should have been a message in itself for all the guys in that locker room that wanted him to stay, that look, as an owner, I got to figure out what the hell he's talking about. I want the full story. I want to figure out what's going on. I don't want Bill's take. I want everybody that's been in that locker room that knows what he's talking about, good, bad, or if he's just blowing smoke on the way out. I need to know.
I'm with you. It spoke volumes, and it speaks volumes when you see people just in general talking about the organization.
You're absolutely right.
It's just,
on that point, like I said, you know, we're overly insulated in that we watch every play. And we react to every move. And in our jobs, we're actually paid to do so as well. But we probably would do it anyway. But when you get to the point where, whether it's because it was the divisional playoff game. Or it was the fact that it's starting to happen so much that it now becomes noticed on all the national studio shows, to where across the board on every national studio show, ESPN, CBS, Fox, NFL Network, every one of them were all in unison going, what the hell were you doing as head coach with the fake punt, with saying you didn't have a play ready to go for fourth and one, and then wasting a timeout to think about it when you were going to go for it, only to call your field goal unit on, to all the other plays. It's now not insulated to just Houstonians who are watching every play. The whole world knows about it.
Well, yeah, and I think back to the Watson thing, the catch 22 is, if you do come out and say something against him, he's still, right now, I mean, he's obviously, he's the one with all the power.
Well, if you tried to get rid of Deshaun Watson in this city, man.
That's true.
Stop it.
That's true. He's probably more powerful than Bill O'Brien.
If there's one guy that has more invincibility than Bill O'Brien,
he's the James Harden of the Texans.
Yeah, absolutely 100% right.
That's a good point. If he had come out and wavered in his support of Bill O'Brien and said, look, man, I just don't know if the offense, the way it is and the way it's designed, if we could, then yeah, you're right. Maybe they have to go out and get an OC to, and allow him to play calls or call plays. Or maybe they allow, you know, they allow somebody to come in and redesign the offense. But it's a good point. It's funny because I don't know that players are going to do that as long as he's in the position of power that he's in.
The way I look at it is, and you bring up a good point about the offensive coordinator too. The way I look at it is, you've tried it to where you've continually given him more and more power, and look what it's gotten you. So if you're not going to get rid of him, take away some of the power and give him less and less power to see if the team is more effective. Get him an offensive coordinator that he doesn't handpick, that he has to listen to, that gets to call plays, just so that we can see if there's more dynamic offenses to be had and more effective results to be gained by doing something like that.
The problem with it not being handpicked is you've constructed a team philosophically. Right. So you've constructed the team around a philosophy, I should say. And so now if you bring in a guy that differs with that philosophy, that's oil and water. Right. So you almost, he has to have a say in who it's going to be, because they have to agree with the way he thinks because the team was constructed as such.
And I agree. I hear you. But here's what we were talking about last week, and it comes back up again today. The new day and age in sports is, you're the head coach, but I get to pick your assistants. Daryl Morey started it, and he started doing it with the Rockets. And you see it within the NFL circles. We're seeing it within baseball now, too, where you're seeing where guys are the head coach, but the organization has to say so and who the assistants are going to be. That's where you can step in and say, okay, I get it. But the way things are going here, as an owner, if I just want to see the most effective team and I also want to get through some of these stumbling blocks that may or may not all be centered right near the back pocket of Bill O'Brien, if I'm not going to get rid of him, I at least got to see if something can be changed to get more results, to clear up some of the crap. And you try it, because it's not unheard of anymore. And it's not something that other teams aren't doing. And maybe it is something that puts his ass in the fire a little bit without firing him outright.
To me, he's got to go. There's no relinquishing play calling duties and getting an OC. Bill O'Brien is the reason the Texans suck.
And I've been on board with you the entire way.
It's the reason no one should be watching this team. It's the reason they get to a certain point. They're great. They're literally the James Harden of football. Great regular season, an egg in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, who wants to watch this year in and year out? Who wants to pay for this year in and year out? Either get better or get out of the way.
And we can get to this from a Rockets perspective, but I was talking to a lot of people about it this weekend, and people were saying, well, why isn't James Harden 100% against Mike D'Antoni? Well, because he built a whole system around him, to your point on football, too. If you build a whole system around Deshaun Watson, you're not going to crap on Bill O'Brien. Yep. So if James Harden's got to be careful what he wishes for. He crapped on McHale because McHale was a no-nonsense guy that believed in team basketball. But he's not going to crap on the guy that's made him the guy getting the accolades as being maybe the best offensive player in the history of the game.
This makes me wonder now, who really was the problem? Was it Rick Smith or was it Bill O'Brien?
Look, I hear what you're saying, but Rick Smith made some pretty questionable draft picks.
Okay, and who was behind those picks?
Well, according to Bill O'Brien, he had nothing to do with any of it at the time. There was a guy that did that.
Bill O'Brien didn't have anything to do with the Laramie Tunsil thing, and that's why Olsen got fired. But then we find out that the bench reported that was completely the opposite. Bill O'Brien didn't have anything to do with the defense, but he did have something to do with the play calling and... You know, Bill O'Brien is literally the Teflon Don. He is literally nothing sticks to this dude. He is perfect. He has never made a mistake other than he needs to coach better. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting.
I don't disagree. And now we've got a whole phone board that wants to get in here as well. So we've struck a nerve with you guys, too, and we feel your frustration. Where you're not going to get frustrated is if you're looking at your house and you think you need a new roof, or you got a leaky roof, and based on the weather lately, you know you got to do something about it. I can tell you exactly the only company to call, and it is Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing, locally owned and operated. So you're not going to get a storm chaser, a deposit thief, a sketchy roofer that comes in, takes your money up front, and doesn't do great work, and then skips town so you can't get it taken care of. You get people that are here in Houston, they appreciate Houstonians, and they're here for all of the city of Houston and surrounding areas. Check them out, because I'm telling you, the ratings back me up. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook at Home Advisor. They have the ratings and the reputation to back up the service and the sale. It's just the way they do business. FITZRoofing.com or call 832-521-3001 for a free, no-obligation inspection today. You call, they come out and see what they can do, and then they let you know and they go away. You want them to come back? Just reach back out. They're going to do great work. 832-521-3001. They also have a great Fitz for Families program to show you how dedicated they are to Houstonians. 10% of all their profits go back to the community through a nonprofit they created called Fitz for Families. The money goes to help people who have a financial liabilities, but have a need for roofing issues, and they can take care of it. It's just the way they give back, and part of the why they're so dedicated to being Houstonians. You check them out, you go to them, and they're going to make a difference. It's in the way they do business. It's in their phrase, in their marketing. It's because they're dedicated to Houston.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through our number two, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an MLK day in the big city. You may be off, we're not, because there was too much to talk about, and we're dedicated to you, the listeners. We know that everybody coming off the championship games in the NFL, the Texans debacle and all the moves that were made overnight and throughout the weekend, the Astros, as Barry mentioned, from FanFest, everything that happened last week, and now you've got players starting to sound out more and more. A couple pitchers today chiming in on social media about everything that happened with the Astros. So there was too much to get to that we take a day off. We know you want to hear from us, so we're here.
Somebody texted and said, O'Brien didn't want Watson. You're right, Barry. And I was like, I recall something about that. So I hit up the Google's machine. Did Bill O'Brien really want it? Guess what I find when I Google it? Our own Travis Johnson had joined the bench one morning and literally went on the record and saying
on
that
our
Bill
station?
O'Brien. Yeah, on ESPN 97.5, he joined the bench. This was December 19th, 2017. Joined the bench and came out and said that Bill O'Brien didn't want to draft Deshaun Watson. And I'm going to believe Trapp, because Trapp's got a lot of inside knowledge into that organization, having played for him, having friends that play for him, having friends on the coaching staff. Plenty of reasons to believe what Travis Johnson said. So, we'll never know for sure, but that's it'd be pretty damning if that was true.
Without a question, because of the fact that all the things that we can criticize Rick Smith for, and he knew how wrong they were when they signed Brock Osweiler, at least give him credit for being able to wipe his hands clean of it. Now, it cost you some draft picks, and it sets you back from a personnel standpoint in that regard, but he also, with those moves, got it right in getting the right guy. Mm-hmm. Because at least you're not the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears and, like, Mr. Get Me and Pick Me, Mike, was kind of taking some shots at me last night because the Packers lost. I said, you're just saying that because you're a Bears fan. And by the way, don't gloat in the fact that the Packers lost when you look at the team that the Packers lost to and realize you helped them to be who they are, because you traded down one spot, took an extra first-round pick from the Bears so that the Bears could move up high enough to draft Maserati Mitch Trubisky instead of either Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, where you would have been head and shoulders better.
Yeah. Bears fans need to sit down. Stop talking. You guys don't. Grown folks are talking. Bears fans, be quiet. You guys have screwed that all up. It's just, you know, here's the thing, too. I don't even care. Like, give credit where credit is due. Bill O'Brien, if he was the orchestrator behind getting Laremy Tunsil, behind getting Kenny Stills, behind getting Carlos Hyde, great. Those moves are great. Then be a GM. But as a coach, you're awful. You're a terrible head coach. Don't be a head coach. Go be a GM somewhere. But on the field and as a coach, you're not good.
here's the thing, too. We've talked about time and time again before he took on the general manager's duties that he might be in over his head in terms of being able to have a grasp on everything because he still wanted to call the plays, but then he didn't know when to throw the challenge flag, and he didn't know how to do time management. And
it's not his job, Joel.
And he didn't know how to call the timeouts, right? So instead of doing less or scaling back and letting others do more, he takes on the general manager role, too. Now there's less time in the day. Now we hear while they're in the heat of training camp and they're trying to make final cuts, he also is orchestrating the trade. So then you're wondering how much did he have involvement on a player personnel side of making key decisions to stay and go for players, as well as is he to blame or not in when you made the deal, not getting the extension done with Tunsil and other details with the amount they gave up. So you're right. There's a lot of things we may never know the answer to unless there's a book written or someone decides to be the Mike Fiers of the front office of the Houston Texans.
Snitch.
But there's a whole lot more questions than answers at this point for a franchise that just can't get out of their own way.
Yeah. You want to take some of these calls on Billy O?
Go ahead, pick them. Yep.
Who's been holding longest?
Cruz
wants to talk Billy O. Cruz, what's up, man? Cruz, going once.
Cruz, you there?
All right, let's try Nate. Nate wants to talk Bill O'Brien. Nate, what's up?
I called you last week. I told you Bill O'Brien was I don't know, OC. He had multiple personalities. But if I was him, I'm a season ticket holder. I'm going to relinquish my tickets also. But if I was the son watching, I wouldn't dare sign an extension or an extra contract with him. While watching the game last night, I was talking to my wife about how all the play calls that the Tennessee Titans coach was making. He had to feel like an idiot to be up under Bill O'Brien with the decisions that he was making. I mean, a great play caller. And I was wondering the same thing about the Honey Badger. He had to have leave for some reason. As long as these people stay with Bill O'Brien, they would not know what it is to win. I'm out.
Hey. Good stuff, hey, Nate. Man. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate the honesty. There's another caller saying they're relinquishing their season tickets.
Yep.
So at a certain point, something's going to resonate to take notice. And they always brag about how long their waiting list is. And now everybody wants tickets to the games. And
66,000 or 16,000 or some stupid number.
It's a big number. But if, you know, the surest way you're going to, if you're not being heard in all your disdain and displeasure with what happened and you're not getting any answers and you're not hearing from the people you want to hear from now, maybe something like that does make them take notice. Because as we said, and we had, you know, you mentioned Travis Johnson. We had Trapp in here. We had Keenan McCardle in here. We had guys that said, I hate to break it to you, but winning is just a sidebar. All that really matters is the profitability of being an owner in the NFL. And if you start messing with their wallet, as we saw with the protests and the kneeling and all the other things too, that's when you can get an owner to take notice. That's what you people need to do.
Somebody said, I'm in my office watching on the stream, and it looks like a vein literally just burst in Barry's head. He was getting so mad. Love it. That's St. Patrick. It is frustrating, though.
Sure
it's infuriating. This is why I'm be a free agent. You know, Packers don't go through this.
No, but I mean, it's a
the
difficult.
Chiefs don't go through
the
this.
The problem with the Packers is, love the comparison Andy Reid. Is the fact that they're publicly owned. So it's a little bit different from that. They're the only publicly owned franchise.
Yeah, but you said yourself, that's just paper. They still run like every other NFL
franchise.
Yeah,
and Mark Murphy, that's where you take on more responsibilities. You're not just the president of the team. You're like the pseudo owner.
Right.
You're making those decisions. So,
but you're a lifelong Packers fan.
Yeah.
You don't go through the same frustrations that Texans fans are going through.
And that's also my point, Barry.
I feel like Chiefs fans don't go through this.
When Packers fans are upset and they voice their displeasure and it becomes a narrative, someone from the organization is answering. They're responding. They're saying and doing things so that everyone is on the same page with either what they did and or where they're going and why. And that's one of the biggest frustrations.
So everybody wanted Mike McCarthy fired?
No, but Mark Murphy came out and said the reasoning behind why they made a change.
Okay.
And when they made a change, right? Or in the case of the year before, when they didn't make a change. So you got some answers. You got some clarity. Texas fans aren't getting any of that. Now they're just seeing random people move.
Yeah. I don't know. It's it's baffling to me. I don't get it. I really don't.
That's why I said, even if it's against everything that you and most Texans fans want to see, that you don't want to hear from Cal unless you fire Bill O'Brien.
I mean, you keep bringing that up, but I don't care about that. I don't want to hear from Cal. I don't need lip service from the Texans organization because that's all we've ever got.
I want to know the direction of the franchise.
I know you do, but I'm just saying.
It clearly doesn't have any direction.
Listen, and no, don't take this the wrong way, but you're not a fan of the Texans like I'm a fan of the Texans. I don't need lip service from the owner. I don't need a feel-good press conference.
I need answers.
I just I need actions. I don't need answers. I need actions. I need actionable results. I need to know that Bill O'Brien isn't the head coach anymore. I don't care that Cal McNair comes out and tells me through his mustache that they want to win. Good. I hope you do. I hope you do, Cal, but I don't need to hear you talk about it.
I need to
see him say Bill O'Brien is not the head coach anymore because he's bleeped this whole thing up.
I'm talking about him. I'm not talking about lip service like that. I'm talking about him addressing directly the O'Brien situation and or the multiple roles.
You're saying coming out and say why he's not firing him?
If he is, just let me know. Are you going to fire him or not? Is he on the high? I mean, are you going to change things up? Are you shaking up? Are you telling me that you are closely looking at the entire situation this offseason? Tell me something instead of nothing and just letting everybody dangle in the wind.
Well, I don't know. I feel like that's more important to you than it is to me.
Fine.
But because all I care about at this point, there's so much talk. There's so much. I just want to see something actionable. And moving Romeo Crennel out of the DC role but not firing him isn't it. And firing some dude that, you know, is in the background isn't it. This is about, to me, the ineptness on the field. And it starts and ends with the head coach.
And I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is, they can't do wrong right. Romeo Crennel, as we said, was going to be the scapegoat. But guess what? They didn't outright fire him.
I know.
And we don't know why that is either. That's all I'm saying. I totally agree with you. The change should be made. It needs to be made. It won't be made, in my opinion. So that's 2 hours in the books. 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes still left of the show. Still got people that want to talk about the Texans. Also got a Rockets game coming up at 4 o'clock against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a shout. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Final hour is next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.